Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
Man, shit is crazy, y'all. What am I gonna do? I gotta find a new job.
Hi, welcome to the Modern Waiter Podcast. I'm Marlon Joseph, the Modern Waiter, where we discuss all things restaurant business, learn something, laugh at something. On today's episode, we welcome actor, writer, improv coach Drew Talbert. How you doing,
Drew? Yeah. The legend.
What's up?
I was supplying my own cheer. I love it.
we'll put some background sound in there for you. Don't even worry about it.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, well, yeah.
As usual, I'm joined by my good friend, Danny DeVilla.
What's up, people?
Well, welcome. And I want to thank you for taking the time to be with us today, Drew.
Sure. Yeah. Thank you for having me.
And are you currently still in the restaurant business?
No, I'm not. I stopped when COVID happened, and then I just haven't gone back, and I've been finding some other ways to make some money, and my wife and I together working on some projects, and so trying to find my way out of it. And I want to say to your listeners, I'm not throwing shade at the restaurant business at all. I had a lot of good experiences there. I was a waiter for 23 years, so you know it's okay if I merge off into something else.
Oh no, you should. That's what the restaurant business is all about. It's all about growth and following your own dreams. And I can tell by watching your videos alone that you have a passion for the business and you have a passion for what you do, and you're very good at it.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, appreciate that. And a passion for getting cut and going home every shift.
Are you the one that needs money and then you get cut first?
Oh my God, yeah. I became
maybe there's just something in that name, Marlon. Maybe there's just something in that name.
Yeah. Oh, is, you know, Drew who's
he's my guy.
Yeah. We have a Drew that barely pays his rent.
Yeah.
And it'd be now, rent week.
I will say I took care of my bills, you know. I mean, I was a good worker in the sense that I was dependable and showed up and all that. But what I was really good at was just figuring out the climate of the restaurant each shift, who the manager was, the tone, the flow. I'd like check in with the hostess, what's left on the books, and kind of like I couldn't help myself but just kind of always finagle it to where I would get cut as soon as possible, you know?
No, that's not like, true. You guys are like twins.
Yeah. Listen, yeah. I know you.
yeah. You know me. I was so smooth about it, though. I felt like everybody was happy. It was very rare someone felt like I had done something, you know?
I know you'll like slow down to see on your seating. You'll drag that last table.
That's right. Don't open it up because make sure that last table gets set somewhere else and then drop the check on mine. Yeah.
There exactly. Yeah.
So those 23 years, take us back to the beginning.
Oh God. Okay. Well, I was a busser first. I don't count that, but like I was a busser. One of my, you know, high school summer jobs, yeah, for sure. I mean, it got me in the business. And the first day of my first job as a busboy, I totally forgot about my shift. I'm out playing basketball in front of my house, sweaty, and I'm like 16 or whatever, and I'm like, oh my God. And I run inside, grab the keys of my mom's Toyota Tercel, you know, and race over there. I'm late. I come in. I come into the parking lot, and as I slam the door, all I remember is hearing U2 playing on the CD player, because this is like, I don't know how old. I'm so old. This was a long time ago. And I just, the music playing, the engine going as I slammed the closed door on my car and locked the keys into the car while it's running.
Classic move.
And I'm late. So I literally have to walk in late to my first day on the first job and say to the manager, hi, I need to call. I'm sorry I'm late. I need to call my mom to come get in the car. I left it. I just slammed the door shut, locked with it running. And they're like, okay. And so they put me in the back with the dishwasher, and they had me scraping ice off the floor in the deep freezer. And then they forgot about me. And I don't know if they were trying to punish me or they had so much going on. And Harold, who is this like 4 foot tall, like troll man, dishwasher, who in 3 years, I don't think I ever understood a word he said, except I don't go there. But he came in and rescued me. Like, he opened the door to do something and saw me. He was like, what are you doing there now? And like grabbed me out. And I was like so cold. Scraped my eyes. That was my first day in the business.
Oh,
that's
wow.
That's a nightmare introduction.
I love it, though. That's awesome. Yeah.
And then from Busser, you transitioned how?
Yeah. And then I, you know, went back to, you know, finish high school and all that stuff. And it was a summer job, the Busser thing. And then I went back to the same restaurant and I was a server through college. This is in Nashville, Tennessee, where I'm from.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, I'll just do this during college. And then it became like over two decades of like Nashville, Los Angeles, about
nice.
12.
So are you in LA now?
I'm in LA now. Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah. Worked in Malibu, Beverly Hills, Nashville, the Valley. Yeah. And it was casual, you know, it'd be like casual to like chains to family owned to chef owned to ultra fine dining to like, all of that. I've done it, yeah, all.
And where did you squeeze in the acting? As far as did you always have a passion for acting?
At every table, Marlon.
Tell them again.
Yeah, come on. They, you know, there's no out of work actors in LA. You know,
you're all the time. You're constantly working. Yeah,
right.
The biggest question I have on that one then is, do your acting skills help you as a waiter, or does your waiter skills help you as an actor?
Oh, I think both. I guess I've never thought of it that way, but both. Yeah, I think your acting skills help as a waiter, because there's times when you really have to, you know, present something that you're not feeling. You know, I mean, you have to present yourself to the guests in a way that gives them the best experience, even if you're not feeling it that day.
All right, some tips, like drawing from your coaching skills, right? What tips would you give me to help me act like I give a crap when I'm really
I did.
When we have zero F's given.
Yeah. So it's, you know, just one shot. Don't drink a whole bottle. No, I'm just kidding. Here's the trick I always did.
Shots
I figured out
help,
like,
though.
Yeah. But again, it, like for a little while, don't even get me started on that, the whole separate conversation. But I do a trick that I learned like halfway through my experience, that I mentally picture the guests as the customers as, and this sounds cheesy, but it really works for me, like they're guests in my home.
Okay.
So I honestly do that, and I approach them, and I'm just like, guys, you know, I just, the warmth that kind of exudes from me, no matter what I'm saying, is very palpable. Because if someone came into my house and I was like, I'd been expecting them, and I'm just like, oh my God, thank you, guys, come on in. Let me get you something to drink. Let me, you know, come make sure everything's good, make sure they're really happy from a genuine place. That's the little mental trick I do.
I get it. And I totally, because I actually work in an old house. And I still work there till this day. And my restaurant, the house was built in 1927. It was a house.
Cool.
And it's still a house. It's right there on the beach. So I feel like it's my house, and when people come in, we treat it as so. And I totally get that nostalgia that you're talking about.
And you can still have some formality, you know. Absolutely. I'm not saying you're like, "Guy, what's up?
Help yourself,
Brewskis." but I'm just like, yeah, you can have that warmth underneath. Because I remember, like, you know how you learn when you you're working, and you've been a server for a while, and then you'll finally go out because you've been working too much to even like go out to eat. And you'll go to some place that's a little nicer than where you're used to working. Like, I remember going to some spots in Vegas and places where my wealthy brother and brother-in-law would pay the bill. And so we've got like these incredible places, you know, with like A5 Wagyu Australian steaks you cut through with a fork and like, you know, and then the server would have like some salt and pepper hair, and like the flow of them, you could tell they had done this for decades, you know what I mean? They were at the top of their game. These people were professional servers that were just like, did it. And the way that they would take us through the experience, I would just be like, oh, this is just next level, you know? And I would study these guys, and they always kind of had the same thing in common. They were formal, like the way they spoke to us felt like we were in a heightened, proper, nice situation. But I also felt very just comfortable. I didn't feel, it wasn't stuffy at all. It felt very like you could chat with them. They could crack a joke if needed and all that stuff. And I just remember that stuff with me. And that I always liked that balance.
Yeah. It's not like you have Marlon at your table.
Oh, okay. Is that Marlon's style?
Oh, totally.
Yeah, definitely.
That's the best style.
Yeah, I'm definitely relaxed, but I you know, I'm pretty, I don't want to say, I am stoic, but I try to give that professional, you know, I'm focused on you, and you're going to have a great time, relax, and just, you know, it's only when I'm drinking I loosen up.
Yeah, I'll say the key is something to answer the other part of your first question about how does acting help, because I teach improv. With improv and acting, but particularly improv, the one thing we start every scene with is eye contact.
Yeah.
You don't have a script, so you have to connect with your scene partner. And so you have to be looking at each other. But when people are in their heads, they're overthinking, they don't look at the other person. They're looking down or up, and they're just overthinking, right? Mm. And you relax yourself and you connect when you look at the other person, make eye contact. And that helped me as a waiter too, because what you're talking about, you know, you can have whatever tone, body language you have, but if you walk up to the table and make genuine eye contact with them, even if you're feeling stressed and busy, it will kind of center you and make them feel like they're the center of your world for that moment. And then they relax. And that's everything. Because if you can get them to kind of trust you and relax at the beginning, it smooths over all the little rough edges that happen along the way and makes it all great. But that eye contact, I try to train people like that, you know, like, relax, make eye contact with them when you talk to them, you know.
That is fantastic advice, because I, a lot of times, since I'm scanning, I do eye contact on my introduction, but I don't tend to necessarily hold that always, because I'm constantly scanning my station. So I really need to work on that.
Yeah, it really helps, particularly if there's any like percolating issue or something, or they're asking for something specific, you know, or a modification or something like that. It's like great to just make that eye contact and really listen to understand them, and they'll feel that. And then that just, it just does something psychologically to them.
I have to be careful, because I have some gazer beams, so my eye contact can be, you know, can cross over into like staring.
Oh,
down.
Me too. No, me too, man. I got labeled at my little, where I perform improv and stuff, is kind of like I did a lot of creepy characters, because my eyes, I think there's too much like white around the pupils or something. And so I can do really creepy characters. And if I stare at you a little too hard, you will run for the hills. Like, so I have to be careful too. It's just a relaxed eye contact. It's not like,
so I let the lids go down a little bit.
Yeah, there you go. You got to practice in the mirror. Yeah.
So I have a question for you. In your skits, I've watched a few and played like 20. And I noticed you're like the same five different characters, but I love them all. Who was your favorite to play in those skits?
Yeah, it sounds like you're talking about the like the server staff, right?
Yes, exactly. When the cooks and then you're yourself as a server, and then when you're on the date with the guy, I love it all.
I appreciate that. First of all, my favorite for a while was, well, right now it's been Nicole. This blonde, like, she's this blonde server who just, I think she feels like she's above the job.
Gotcha.
So she's just kind of eye-rolly and, like, does it her way. Mm-hmm. And just kind of feels like she probably, you know, I always think she's one of these girls whose dad told them they were a princess their whole life.
Yeah.
And then they grow up and then they have to pay their own bills. And they end up working at a restaurant. And it just butts up against everything they feel like they should have in life.
Absolutely.
Like they should just they go through their shifts and they're just like, how am I not being just taken care of? You know, how am I doing this job? And so she's kind of one of those. She's just like, you kind of like her because she's real and honest and funny, but like she's also just like, I'm above this. Why do I have to do this?
And your wife does all your hair and makeup and stuff, right?
Yeah, I haven't done the makeup stuff yet. I did one for a theater kids sketch, but I haven't done the makeup.
She does the hair, like all the accessories and everything else.
She'll help me style the you know, fluff the wigs and stuff, and she helps me with
that.
The clothes and like
the little accessories and stuff. I love that. Like,
the necklaces. It's so key. Yeah, she's amazing with that.
You do amazing with your facial expressions in reaction to yourself, basically. I mean, well, to the other characters.
Right.
You don't have to say who if that's a thing, but are any of your characters based on real people as far as the restaurant, the restaurant waiter characters?
Not really. Not intentionally. You know, it's like I'll basically do a character that feels right in the moment. And because I usually don't have a lot of time to make these, so I'm kind of going pretty fast. Mm-hmm. And I've also developed characters over the years doing improv and sketch comedy.
Yeah.
And I've used them in shows and stuff. So I'll do like a variation on a character I may have done before, but not as a server. Just now I'm making them a server. Or I just need a character that's kind of like upbeat and peppy. And so I'll just do that. And then later I'll be like talking to my wife and she'll be like, you totally did so-and-so, someone we know. And I'm like, oh, you're right. Or like, I did. That's what she's like, you know, this is your mom, right? I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, I did. This is my mom.
Ouch.
So, no, it's okay. It's okay. What do you mean, ouch? Don't ouch him. Make him feel bad about it.
I'm very fragile.
Oh, I mean, I was just saying, you don't know my mom.
Oh.
So if you're like me, I'll be ouching myself.
Riff a little bit as your mom. Just let's get a taste.
So if she wants anything, she'll call me by my middle name, which is Andre.
Really?
So she'll say, Andre. And I say, yeah, Ma.
And you know she wants something.
Yeah, and then I know she wants something.
What does she usually want? Like to help you to fix something in the house, or like?
I got to do something. I'm getting sent to the store.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Right.
Even as an adult.
There's Postmates, and then there's just like you. She doesn't need Postmates.
Yeah. No. No. She's old school with that. You know how
we have Andre.
Yeah. No online banking. Yeah. No, she still licks stamps and write checks, man.
Oh, checks.
Yes. Man. Yeah. Can you believe
that? I've worked so long, I remember when people would pay with checks.
Wow. Get out of here. In a restaurant?
Oh, yeah. It was not
a supermarket.
It was not often, but we had a policy. You know, they have to have two things of ID and this and that. But it would happen occasionally.
I mean, I've been doing this for a long time, I guess so. Yeah. I mean,
years ago, it was just happened a few times, and it was like
very, very seldom, right? And you kind of look at them like, what is this? What am I supposed to do with this?
Yeah. It was annoying.
The closest thing I've gotten to checks were the traveler's checks.
Oh, I remember those for sure. Yeah, I remember those travelers checks. So
yeah. Yeah.
Man, those we are dating good. Ourselves.
God.
So you've done skits on you've done a skit on pet peeves. Which is your biggest pet peeve in the restaurant?
Oh, my biggest pet peeve. My God, there's so many to choose.
Okay, so like, I'll rephrase it. I'll ask you in a different way. What's that?
No, go ahead.
Which is more annoying, hot tea or cappuccinos?
Okay, so I've had the good fortune of only working at two places that had cappuccinos. One of them had a deli guy who would make them. So I've only worked at one place where I had to make them.
Okay.
And that was rough. That was rough. I would say hot tea is just annoying because I've had to do it everywhere and it's always annoying. But that one place that had them, it was by far the cappuccino thing. Cause it was rough. If you got an order for like three or four of them at the same table, you're done. I mean, your section is toast.
You need a back waiter for that.
Oh yeah. For real. And there'd be like one little cappuccino machine and like five servers and like, God forbid your table needed them the same time as their table.
That one's a
rough one for sure.
So help me out here. If what's the protocol, right? When you have, we'll all have tables that fight over the check. Uh-huh. And one guy asks, he says, hey, I'll take the check. He asks you first. And then another guy catches you and actually hands you his card.
Right.
Who are you going to give the check to first?
Okay. Did he hand me the card in front of the guy who asked or like back near the bathrooms?
Near the back rooms, but he was second.
Okay. If that happens, I usually just grab the card and do it right there.
Okay.
But my policy is if it's just verbal, I go with whoever asked first.
Yeah. Gotcha. Okay.
But if someone tracks me down and hands me the card, I'll just do it right there.
Okay.
Yeah. That's me.
We did a podcast recently on restaurant movies. We reviewed in sorts. Ratatouille was our first one. Then we did Slammin' Salmon. And we did Waiting.
You haven't seen Slammin' Salmon? You got to see Slammin' Salmon then if you haven't seen it.
Okay.
Definitely got to check it out.
It's actually pretty funny. But have you seen Ratatouille and Waiting?
Yep.
Okay, so I won't ask you which is your favorite, but I will ask you, in Waiting, they seem to mess with people's food a lot, in retribution to them, a server having bad attitude or the people that came in late, like a couple of minutes before closing.
Or the woman who complained and was real bitchy about it.
The straight Karen, yeah, she was a Karen all day.
What, have you ever witnessed anybody messing with food?
I've never seen that. I've never worked at a place where I saw someone intentionally do something to someone's food because they were mad at them or whatever. I've just never seen it.
And yeah, I've never worked at so many places, right? Exactly.
No. And so in the movie, it's in the movie and it's everybody's fear that's never worked in a restaurant. And I know it probably happens, but have I just worked in good things?
No, I feel the same way as you. It's never been to that extent.
That I've only seen it in my, 24, 25 years of serving. I've only seen it twice.
Maybe once, twice, yeah.
I have twice.
What did you see?
That's funny.
Let it out.
I have admitted it, but I've never actually said what it was.
Okay.
So, once I saw a guy roll a biscuit on the floor.
Woo! Okay. Uh-huh. And then bake it?
And then pick it up and put it on the plate.
Now, what does it say about me? What does it say about me being a Southern country boy that all I was thinking was, oh, that biscuit?
No, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with what you were doing.
That poor biscuit.
Yeah, the biscuit held up, though. I was like, oh. It happened so quickly.
And what was the other guy?
The other one was they dropped the steak on the floor.
Okay. I've seen that before.
It was both at the same place, and it was both early in my career. I haven't seen it like, so basically you can pretty much say I haven't seen it in the last 20 years.
That's pretty good. See,
yeah.
So that's a combined a lot of years here that we just don't see that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't happen very often.
It's not a thing. It's like,
it
definitely doesn't happen like at Waiting, where the whole kitchen like stops and they all gather around. They're like, let's hawk this loogie together. Like, you know,
yeah, just pop in.
That's insane.
It's out of control.
I mean, that place would be shut down within a week. The way,
yeah,
someone would be filming it with their phone.
Oh, and yeah,
it would
for
go
sure.
viral. And like, yeah, it's just.
And Marlon forgot to tell you the one thing, though, is like in the movie Shenanigans was a Bennigan's, right. And Marlon's first job was at a Bennigan's.
Oh, nice.
Yes, classic. It was. it gave me the feels and the PTSD.
Yeah. Oh, I'll bet. Man. What's the most, let me ask you guys a question. Because I've gotten so much better, but there was a period where I had a temper, right? And I'd be like, such a nice guy. Everybody liked Drew, just going with the flow, good guy. But I would get stressed sometimes. There'd be times when I would lose it. And I'm embarrassed to say I screamed at these guys in the kitchen once.
Oh, yeah.
And it was this place in Malibu, and I was waiting on the wife of the Clippers owner at the time. This was back in 2001, maybe.
Okay.
And, you know, high-profile guest. They'd come in a lot. And he messed up the order, sent it back, messed it up. And the third time, he put it up in the window, and it was wrong again. And it was specific. I had to type quite a bit of modifications for this person. But I realized that the main chef had gone home and left this guy in charge, who really didn't speak English that well.
Gotcha.
And I screamed, and I grabbed the ticket and, like, wadded up and threw it through the window and hit the guy in the chest with this wadded-up ticket. Yelling.
Holy crap.
And I felt so bad. I had to apologize to him later. I've lost sleep over this. I felt, you know, it was like a dark time. Have you guys ever lost it? Like in a restaurant?
Oh, yeah.
Like yelling at somebody?
I've had to yell at a few people in different jobs over the years. Yeah. And you definitely feel bad. And you go through all the emotions exactly how you're talking about.
Yeah.
I've definitely lost it. But I also feel like the times when I have lost it, it was times in my personal life where I didn't have the capacity to take any more at that time, you know? Mm. So I came in like if my go off point is, let's say, a 9, I came in at like a 6 or a 7 anyway.
Yeah. No, yeah. You're right. There was always something going on in my life at the time that when I've lost it.
Yeah.
Loaded gun. Yeah, exactly. It's always other stuff. Yeah,
and then usually you could kind of pine if that person is a good person. And one time I did the shite, Marlon, and this is years ago, and I felt so bad, and I had to pull up this. I was like, you know what I mean? Like, oh, it had nothing to do with him.
Yeah,
I've apologized like made the phone. I didn't do it in a phone call, but I remember apologizing a couple of times in person. Like, listen, that wasn't meant for you. You know, blah, 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 blah. I got on people about side work, about being lazy and things like that. Not the kitchen, because I started in the kitchen.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I was a line cook.
Okay. You've done both.
Yeah, I did. I did. And so I not that I dare not, but I get it. I have not lost it, but I've been short with the kitchen because, you know, you're working together and it's you're the face, you know. Sometimes when you're the face, they don't feel the same responsibilities that we do when you go out and, you know, this person is having to take it. So I've refused to run, food to my table that wasn't up to par, you know?
Right.
And really ask for another one. So.
Right. That needs to be a video that I need to make, you know, that moment where you look down, you're like, I can't take this to my table, guys. You
Yeah. Oh no way. It's especially now, you know, you really have to, you know, you appreciate everybody coming through your doors, so you got to make it right even more so.
That's right.
What was so I have a kind of in the same vein, but what's waiting tables in LA like? I can imagine that there's some kind of regional thing there that we have never experienced that you can speak on.
So it's different in different little parts of LA because LA is so big, obviously. Okay.
Yeah.
And you know, I have worked in Malibu, Beverly Hills, and the Valley, and in Hollywood. So a nice cross section. One place I haven't worked that's notorious is like the West Side, not quite the Malibu, but like the Pacific Palisades and all that. It's known for being the most entitled people, like the most. But I will say, like, so the Hollywood place was a foodie, you know, chef-driven, James Beard Award finalist kind of chef, kind of seafood place. And I liked the clients there for the most part. You know, they were foodies. They really wanted to go on this journey with you. It was one of the most difficult places I've ever worked just because of the constantly daily changing menu and demands. But those people were cool in like a foodie kind of way. The Valley is weird because when I first got there, I was kind of struck with, it was the opposite of the foodies. I mean, there are some there, but it's like these Valley guys are weird. They're like, they want a female server usually, and they're like these dads who are like business owners, and they're every encounter with another male, they act like they're a buck, like establishing dominance. So I was like, the first few months at this place in the Valley, I was just like, what is going on? Like, I'd be like, hey guys, how you doing? My name's Drew, and they're like, oh yeah, you know, like they would just like bow up.
it's like where's Brittany with the big
yeah, exactly, where's Brittany or Andrea? That was who I married my wife, we met at this place. But anyway, nice. So that was weird, but then I found some really lovely people there too, some cool people. And then Beverly Hills was just like old, weird, like old money Hollywood stuff, and it was an old classic restaurant owned by Merv Griffin that got bought and like changed, and they're trying to make it real hip and modern. But these people had been coming there for like 40 years to have their specific little thing. They were like all in their 70s and 80s.
They would come in
and just be like, what is happening? You know? So that was kind of a bad experience. But the people, I would say there's more of this, like, just in general, to give you some broad strokes, in LA in general, as you might expect, there's people that just go to eat just to be seen, or to, like, you know what I mean, just to kind of posture a little bit more than they would in other places. There's like another thing going on. There's just people that come here to make it, you know, and there's a higher percentage of people in LA that feel like they're special.
Okay.
Than other parts of the country, I think. You know, like in this, like, they moved here because they felt they were special, and they're waiting to be discovered. And there's just, and then if they're older and they didn't make it, there's maybe you have some of the bitter quality there and all that. And then Malibu was wild. I mean, I worked in this place next to the Malibu Colony, which is this exclusive community of houses. So, like, we have these A-list celebrities in there all the time. And then a mixture of that, and just like, Malibu's weird. People don't realize this. It's like a small town in the middle of LA, not in the middle, on the coast, obviously, but like there's people in Malibu that just refuse to leave Malibu. Like, they grow up there and they don't want to cross the 405, which is this freeway, to come to the right. Like, it's like, oh, yeah, got this kind of weird. What's that?
The other side, you gotta come down the other side of that hill, you know, they're terrible.
Oh, they don't do it. Yeah. There was this weird, like, small town feel to Malibu that I kind of liked, you know? It was this weird territorial, like, small town feel.
What was the last, what was a guest complaint that you've gotten?
About me, or like,
about you?
About me?
Yeah. Have you ever gotten a guest?
That's tough. I'm trying to think. I'll say this. There was a story I'll tell you, because I didn't get a lot of complaints. Most people generally liked me, but I had this one family that I'd been working in this place for a couple years, and it was a chef owned place. So it wasn't corporate, and the manager was like a friend, you know, and like the chef was kind of a hard ass, but I'd kind of earned my stripes with him. And I respected the food. I thought the food was damn good, you know, and I was proud to work there, proud to serve it. And this family came in and they were just a nightmare, complaining about stuff. Their kid was running wild and they were speaking at a really high volume and very aggressively the whole meal in this way that was kind of off. It was already had me on alert. Mm-hmm. And they complained about something else. And then they called me over and said, like, this tastes like dog, like I wouldn't serve this to my dog or something. Whoa. Like that.
Oh, wow.
And I got upset, and then I brought something else out and I just like threw it on the table, just like tossed the plate on the table. And I said, here, eat it or give it to your dog. And like,
that's nice.
They went off. They lost their mind. They were like, I want to talk to you. How do you talk to us that way? Blah, blah. I've never been in a situation like this. It was a total all out confrontation. I'm shaking a little bit. I can't believe I did it. I tell Mike, the manager, and again, not corporate. He gets my back. He goes over to them. He's like, you don't talk about our food. That stuff. If you don't like the food, why don't you just leave? And like, they finally left, but it was crazy. They did not like my attitude, I guess. No.
Yeah. That's, that is, I like that line though. Eat it or give it to your dog. if you forget, and we've all forgotten to ring in somebody's food, imagine that it's one dish out of four. What's your go-to lie?
He already made a skit about it.
I know.
I made there many.
There was a bunch.
No. Yeah, there are a bunch. So like, what's my favorite?
Yeah.
My favorite is the quality control when I call it. So I just said, hey, folks, the chef just didn't feel like the dish was up to his standards, and he's having the guys remake it for you, so it's going to be a little bit longer.
I like that. That's pretty solid, actually.
Yeah,
that's one that they don't see coming.
It just reinforces the quality of the restaurant. It makes you look like you and the chef are all, like, trying to give them the best experience possible.
Yeah.
And so there might be a small time delay, but you're going to, and then you just pray to God they make it good. You just hope they make it good, right?
Yeah.
I know, right? Most people aren't going to say, no, send out that crappy one.
Yeah, I'm right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, yeah. Nobody said that to me. That'd be funny.
So if you worked at an animal only restaurant, what animal would be the worst to wait on?
If the restaurant was selling steaks, probably a cow, because they'd be really upset that we were selling. How dare you?
Exactly.
This is my brother. Oh, okay. Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm leaving.
I don't know why you even came in, sir. You're a cow. This is a steakhouse. How do you come in here? All right, sorry.
That was great.
If I was an animal, what would I be? The restaurant?
No. If you worked, you're a waiter, right? And you only, it's an animals only restaurant. Like, so only animals are your patrons.
Oh, so okay. But I'm a human.
What's the most annoying animal to wait on, basically?
I got you. I don't know. Maybe like a hamster, because they would just like take all the food and shove it in their cheeks. Eating it, I don't know. Cats are picky, aren't they? I think the answer to any question about what animal you don't like is probably going to usually be cats, because I'm a dog person.
Yeah, but like, I feel like cats are polarizing, you know. Everybody, no one says that they don't like dogs, but everybody says they either love cats or hate cats.
Yeah. Well, cat as a customer would be annoying, right? They're picky, they snarl, they're like moody.
They're very moody when you come to the table. Like when you come to the table, they won't even look your way. You're like, hi, my name is Marlon. I'll be assisting you.
Right.
Excuse me.
Just look away.
A cat is legit holding its own conversation with the other people at the table, not looking at you at all.
Absolutely. And if they do like you, they would just start annoyingly, like, pawing at your chest.
Yeah, this is nice. This is a nice apron. This is a very nice apron.
Please, please.
Where'd you get it? Can I have it? Can I have one?
Yeah. And they would just poop in a box. Yeah, exactly.
I'll let you go on these last two right here.
Okay.
You did a skit on...
it would be like, I was just thinking though, like with wine though, you know, one of those wine descriptors is cat pee.
Oh,
I wonder if, like, I wonder if they would be like, we're interested in wine, you know, do you have anything with like our pee smell? Or, I'm sorry, yeah. I don't know where I was going with it. I really don't know where I was going with that.
So I'm in a dark place that, real quick. It's okay.
I just remember when I was learning wine and how to sell wine and really diving deeper into wine. It was like that one descriptor always stood out. Cat piss.
The vinegary cat piss, yeah.
Yeah.
Wait. That's a thing?
Yeah.
That's an actual wine descripting term. The wine descriptor is cat pee. It gives this very specific.
Wow.
Really?
I've never came to that part of the course.
I didn't make that up.
now what I said earlier really sounded crazy if you didn't think that was a real thing. Just edit that out.
You did a skit with the everything that a manager says, and that was one of my because you did get off the phone like so many different ways.
Oh my god! Yeah,
that tone was awesome. It's like you have time to lean, you have time to clean. It's just
thank you.
All the hits. What would be one, drawing on your improv skills? Give us one that everything that a server says.
Are we making cuts yet? Yeah, I guess that'd be one.
Oh, you definitely. Know?
Am I cut? Yeah, exactly. Probably something about
who closed last night.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's a really good one. Who did lemons? Who did lemons? Who cut? Who didn't put the slits in the lemons? Right. That'd be a good one. Can we? Yeah. I don't know. I guess
it's
something
slammed.
About your.
It's dead. The same person will say slammed.
Okay. I'll do my friend. I worked with this guy, Jamie Cowan. And it was this restaurant in Nashville. Mm-hmm. We were all like in our 20s and he was like 60. And he was this little bald headed guy, super Southern. He lived like way outside of Nashville in this little like homemade house with his three dogs. And he was divorced and had like three boys. And so he had to make money. So he'd work doubles every day.
Oh.
And he would pick up clothes every shift. And in between his shifts, he'd go out in his truck, drive around and drink a 32-ounce Miller Lite, smoke a joint, come back and work the night shift. Oh. And if it was ever slow, he would just watch the TV because he played in the stock market. So he'd watch his stocks. But my favorite little things he would say, one of my favorites, I called him like a backseat manager because he never wanted to be a manager. He just wanted to tell them how to run the restaurant from behind. And he would, some of his favorite ones were like, within 5 minutes of the doors being open, if it wasn't slammed, he'd be like, it's a bust. he would just label the whole shift a bust if it wasn't just immediately going crazy. And the other thing he'd say is like, what they ought to do is, and then he would finish it with like, usually some sort of decoration change that the restaurant needed. Like what they ought to do is get rid of all this carpeting, put in hardwood floors. Nobody wants to eat at a restaurant with carpeting. You know, what they ought to do is quit hiring 9 people at the time, you know, because he would always try to get as many people to quit as possible. So like if they would hire 8 people, it was a big restaurant, it was his personal goal to get as many of them to quit as possible so that he could get more shifts.
Oh my gosh, diabolical.
And he created a group of guys in their 20s that were his like minions, and he called them the Sophies. And so the can I use bad language on here?
Yes.
Okay. So if he didn't like you, if he wanted you gone, you were a fucking idiot, an FI. he called them, not Bob. And him and his group of guys were called the Soapies, the Stamp Out the Fucking Idiots. Oh, I'm not making this up.
God.
And he you would can't. Encourage them. So they would just do all these like things. Like I remember rolling silverware next to him, and then a girl, it was her first job or first week, and he was just rolling silverware, and he's just like, you know, you're the worst server I've ever seen. Just say things like that. And she started crying. It was, you know, really.
You know what they ought to do? They ought to fire you.
What they ought to do is get rid of you. Yeah, they ought to fire you. I don't know if that answers your question.
Well, it does.
He might still be out there working. I don't want to slander him too much.
Oh, no, he's definitely still working them doubles.
I love working with the guy, though. And he had all these regulars that just loved him. I mean, he could sell. My God, could the man sell?
Well, he was motivated. It's rent week.
That's right.
I worked with a guy that he kind of reminded me of what's that actor's name that he died? He was in Polly. What's a Jennifer Aniston movie? With
Along Came Polly.
Along Came Polly, and he would he was making the baskets. It was like raindrops.
White I don't remember.
He reminded me of him, and he'd be like, "Yo, man, I'll ask him. Hey, you want to go golfing?" He's like, "Nah, man, can't. It's rent week."
Yeah,
like the last of the month, he would always say, "Nah, man, it's rent week."
Yeah,
so he wouldn't go out to the bar, nothing. He spent all his money, so he had to make it on rent week.
Yep, that's right. Yeah,
man, tell us what's next for you.
Just making videos, and you know, that's pretty much it. Just trying to grow the channel. I put them on TikTok and Instagram and Facebook and YouTube. So I'm just kind of awesome. Getting it all. What's that?
I said that's awesome.
Oh, yeah. And so I'm just trying to grow all that, keep it going. And I've been writing a show on the side. I'd kind of started writing a few years ago. Now I'm kind of working on that again, just like a 30-minute comedy kind of an idea.
Nice, yeah.
Partnering with a company right now called Lunchbox Tech, which is they're trying to get restaurants to do more in-house delivery and less of the third-party Postmates, Uber Eats, and that kind of thing. So they're helping restaurants streamline their process to do skipping more
the fees
on their own. Yeah, and so that's them. They reached out to me, so they're kind of licensing some of my videos, and I'm gonna start making a few originals for them too. So that's fun.
Yeah, because I saw that you also do the cameo, like if someone wants to
send
a personal message, tell them about that.
I'm glad you brought that up. They reached out to me and said there had been some requests, so did I want to create an account, and I did. And I realized most of those cameos, it's like they're mostly celebrities, and they'll just like turn the phone around and like say, hey, happy birthday, Jim, so-and-so. Whoever, Robert De Niro, I don't think he does them, but they'll just do a little shout out like that, and I do it a little different. I'll let you tell me what characters you want, and then I will do like multiple characters and create like a little mini scene, basically. Mm-hmm. And I'm having so much fun with it. I've done, I don't know, like 30 of them so far, and like just do these mini scenes, but it's very time consuming the way I do it. It takes me like an hour to do one, and so I'm charging like I just raised it to 30, and I wanted people to know I don't think of myself as like a celebrity where I demand that kind of money. I just want to let people know it's because of the work involved. The way I do it is different, and so it's like I'm creating an entire video for you. I'll probably end up raising it more as I go, but I'm just trying to find that line of like where people still want to pay it. Where I do it, but yeah, it's a really fun thing. I do birthdays, anniversaries. I've done, my favorite is roasting people. I had a woman reach out. She said, I work at this restaurant of a hotel, and the chef recently set the entire hotel's fire alarm off trying to make a funnel cake. Could you have the kitchen guys roast him? So I had my three kitchen guy characters making jokes about this guy. And it was so fun to do. And so I've done a few of the roasts, or like servers roasting another server about the way he rolls silverware. And he'll have me do my waiter characters roasting him. And so those are all fun.
Nice.
Definitely. Check him out on Cameo. I saw you, like, one of the earlier videos you did on YouTube where you're interviewing someone for a corporate job, but you're going through his work history, but you're fixated on his.
That was on the Groundlings stage. Yeah.
Yeah. You're fixated on the restaurant experience. So how is that, being a busboy?
Yeah, he's there to be the chief financial officer of a Fortune 500 company, and the guy interviewing him is like, let's go a little deeper, and like starts asking about his time working at a restaurant and as a waiter. My friend Jeff Grimm and I wrote that when we were in the Sunday Company at the Groundlings years ago.
Yeah,
I've been meaning to shoot that one. I want to shoot like a video version of that.
It's a cool concept, man, because you could see the tension, you know, in between the two characters.
Yeah, he's like, why are you asking this?
Well, thank you so much. Thank you for taking your time. Tell everybody where they can reach you.
Yeah, I am on Instagram at Drew Talbert. TikTok is at Drew_Talbert, and then just search for Drew Talbert on YouTube and Facebook. It's like facebook.com/DrewTalbertFB, and that's it. Well, Drew, just walk around hello. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yes,
thank you. We'll definitely get you on the show another time. I really, really enjoyed your energy. I think the audience will as well, and I am so glad we got you on.
Cool, man. I appreciate it. And it's great meeting you. By the way, my wife's from Fort Lauderdale. So.
Oh, wow.
Fantastic. Yeah, so we're there occasionally.
So next time you're down, let's get you in the studio.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say, let's get you in the restaurant. We'll give you some food. You're like, no.
Well, I'll give you some food, too. Don't worry about that.
Let's make you work.
Let's get you in the studio, and then we'll take you out to lunch afterwards.
No, I'm kidding. All right. Sounds good, guys.
Yeah, may you never have to work in a restaurant again.
Absolutely.
Yeah, cheers. Good luck in your endeavors, my man.
Well, thank you.
Yes, I'm Marlon Joseph, the Modern Waiter. If you enjoy our show, please pass it on to a friend. That's the way that you can help us out at this time. You can also reach out to me at the Modern Waiter Podcast on Instagram or themodernwaiter@gmail.com. And we'll see you next week. I'm Marlon Joseph, the Modern Waiter.
I'm Danny DeVilla. Subscribe. We'll see you guys next time. Later. Now it's all over. Your lyrics are big fame. Who would have thought they got it right, man?
One, two, three, four. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.